You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me today, I've got 365 Days of Horror, and we've got a whale of a show for you today. How big is it? How big is this show?
It is gargantuan.
Mammoth.
Dongtastic.
What we're trying to say is it is big and also good. Our very special guest is going to be joining us, Nameless from Ghost Bath, who it turns out does have a real name. We're going to talk about all kinds of pressing questions that you guys have. The controversy between the band claiming to be Chinese, the connection with Death Heaven, why they wear white jumpsuits on stage. It's all there, and it's all good. You know, I think I most enjoyed talking to him about all of the vitriol that his band gets from, I'd say 51% of the metal sphere. What was your favorite part about that?
I liked hearing about kind of where the songs come from. I discovered Ghost Bath through Toilet of Hell. I didn't really know them before. And I think I say in the interview, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of black metal, but I really enjoy listening to Ghost Bath and just kind of talking about where all the music comes from. And like you said, talking about the little bit of controversy that's gone on with them and kind of getting a lot of praise initially from metal bloggers thinking that they were Chinese, and then their little disappointment that their fantasy of a spooky sounding band from China is really just a guy from the United States.
Yeah, North Dakota especially, which seems to be like rubbing salt into the wound. But no, it's strange. I saw a whole lot of people cape for this band and then just immediately retract their words, and suddenly this is their persona non grata within the metal club. But, I mean, you know, as we talked to them, that old stunt, it worked. They're a national, you know, touring band on Nuclear Blast, so.
Yeah, the gimmick worked. You know, I won't name any names, but I saw the band released a new song for their upcoming album last week, and just a bunch of metal bloggers that we know, just a circular conversation going on. It just doesn't really do anything for me anymore. It's like they didn't really change musically all that much, just the gimmick kind of got revealed, and I guess people were really into the gimmick for a little while more than maybe the music.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go on record here. I am a fan of this band. I spent like $35 to buy their first vinyl pressing of Moonlover before they were signed to a record label, which was dumb. I could have just waited like a couple of months. So I like the band. I like what they're doing. And I hope that they continue to do things that are good and not bad. I would like to take umbrage with a statement that you made just a second ago, though. We are experts on black metal. We are very true and very cult, and we've been following it since the early 90s. We burned down churches in Scandinavia. So don't let anybody tell you that we're not true black metal fans. What else is going on in the world that we need to cover today?
Our buddy Phil Labonte has reared his ugly head again. It's kind of like how a couple days go by and like Trump just has to say something completely insane on Twitter, and then the story changes and whatever he said is now the focus. I think currently we're dealing with his made-up story that former President Obama wiretapped the phones at Trump Tower. Well, Phil Labonte has gone ahead and stuck his foot in his mouth saying that he is, quote, fucking punk rock.
When I think about, you know, true punks, people that don't give a fuck about what anybody thinks, they forge their own path, they're dangerous, they're exciting, I think about a 40-year-old libertarian douchebag.
I want to read the full quote. I want to be the guy that really challenges people's ideas. I'm fucking punk rock. Punk rock hasn't been punk rock for 30 years. For too long, metal has been bullshit, milky, pandering crap. What happened to metal? What happened to punk rock? What happened to being anti-establishment? I want to bring that all back.
To Laboni's credit, he is anti-establishment and that he's against things like the Department of Education. But I would really like for him to meet like Jello Biafra and then for Jello Biafra to punch him in the throat.
Oh, maybe we could sponsor like a tour between the two of them where they debate, like hit a couple of cities where they just talk about politics. I would pay good money to see that.
As would I. I would definitely drop acid before doing that, though. So that's great. In addition to, you know, in addition to being punk as fuck, he's we learned this week that All That Remains are going to include a Garth Brooks cover on the new record. Let me go ahead and say this. I'm a Garth Brooks fan. I saw Garth Brooks last year in concert and I had a great time. The guy is a great performer and a lot of these songs are really, really, you know, they're classics. I don't know what I'm going to get out of an auto-tuned version of the Thunder Rolls with occasional double bass blasts. Like, that's, it seems unnecessary. But it's a part, I don't know, what do you think?
I think Garth Brooks was made for pinch harmonics and ignorant breakdowns.
You know, I've never considered it before now, but maybe that's because I'm, you know, an establishment stooge. You know, I'm not thinking outside of the box. But LaBunny's not really thinking outside of the box either, because this seems to be a larger trend of metal musicians going country.
She's gone country. Look at them boots. She's gone country. Back to her roots. She's gone country. A new kind of suit. She's gone country. Here she comes.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, all of a sudden, within, like, the past maybe year or two, a bunch of bands and musicians have started either covering country songs or just putting out country records. I mean, you got, like you said, this All That Remains stuff. Nurgle put out a country record. Devil Driver is going to put out some sort of country album.
Fucking
is it a covers
Devil
album?
Devil Driver. Or? Why Devil Driver? Like, Des Fafara should always be known as that douchebag from Coal Chamber, and it is unfair to think of it as anything else, but I guess now he's trying to flip the script again by doing country music. But I mean, it's not just that embarrassment. David Vincent of Morbid Angel has been performing, actually locally in my town, his country material. It's not good. It's pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, Danny Warsnop, old Warsnoppy from Asking Alexandria, put out a country record.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to be the Kenny Chesney of metalcore, which is a thing that should not exist. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing. Songs about,
it's
like,
weird.
It's beer o'clock. I'm a British guy pretending to be, you know, South Alabama trash, but whatever.
It's just a really weird trend that only seems to be growing, and I feel like no one wants it. Like, there's no clamoring. Like, oh, man, I really want to hear Kerry King hit that banjo hard. It's just, like, they're kind of doing it on their own, and I don't know where it's coming from or where it's going.
So there's been a trend for a while now where aging punk musicians kind of pick up an acoustic guitar and go folk. Like, Tom Gabelle is probably a great example of that. The guy from Hot Water Music. You know, it's been going on for a while. It's a joke, like, folk music is the punk rock retirement plan. And it seems like, these metal dudes are trying to get into it, but they're, you know, going full on yeehaw bullshit. So, bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
Does this mean that we're going to be getting country musicians trying to do metal albums? Like, is Florida Georgia Line gonna put out a death metal album anytime soon?
I mean, let's think about this realistically, though. Florida Georgia Line, in appearance, in demeanor, in sound, in sleek production qualities, is not that far removed from, say, a Five Finger Death Punch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, this is the horseshoe theory of politics, you know, like the further left or the further right that you go, you end up on that side, on the opposite side, rather. I think that that's what we're seeing with country and metal. And, you know, it's piss poor excuses for both genres that are unfortunately going full hog here. Like, I think that there are several musicians within the realm of metal that could make a great country record, and several within the realm of country that could make a great metal record. Like Sturgill Simpson, I feel has it in him to put out something, you know, fantastic, just because he's a fantastic musician and his lead guitar player is one of the best I've ever heard. And likewise, maybe Mastodon, you know, they could probably put out a pretty good country record.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Instead, what we're getting is the guy from Asking Alexandria and fucking Phil LaBonte. Do better, guys. Like, do better. That's all I'm asking.
In the more, I guess, relegated world of metal, a big tour was announced. It's Slayer, Lamb of God, and Behemoth. They're going on a U.S. tour coming up soon.
I think, as you mentioned, this would be the biggest news story of 2006.
I'm actually shocked that this tour never happened previously. I could have sworn that this already did, but a quick Google search just shows Lamb of God and Behemoth were on Ozfest together, and Slayer was on Ozfest like every other year. So it's kind of happened already, but shockingly enough, never exactly like this lineup. And I think they're playing like amphitheaters and like really big venues. Do people want to see all three bands enough to fill those places in 2017?
I don't know. This is something that I've discussed with W a number of times, but I've seen Slayer enough times now that I'm kind of over it. I'm not going to pay to go to a big stadium show again to see them. But I'm not the biggest Slayer fan in the world, so what do I know? I think Behemoth is embarrassing and Lamb of God has never done anything for me, so this is not for me. Is it for you?
It's not for me. I've seen Slayer once. I never need to see them again. I also saw them in a club, so why would I want to see them in a bigger venue while it's possibly still light outside? Seen Lamb of God once back in 2003. It was the Headbangers Ball Tour. It was actually on Halloween night, so when I saw them, Randy Blythe was dressed up as like a giant cowboy costume. So I don't need to see them again. I've already seen them at their peak. And I really don't have any interest in seeing Behemoth all that much. So tour's really not for me either. And these bands kind of peaked about 10 years ago. So I'm kind of curious to see how many people are they going to get to this. I mean, Slayer tours all the time. So unless you're like a really a diehard fan or you've never seen them before, I don't really see all that much of a need to see them in the first place. And Lamb of God hasn't had a really big record. I know we talked about this a few shows back, but I don't know. I'm curious to see how it does.
I guess I would go see the show if only Nurgle and Behemoth does his country set instead.
You're probably the only one.
I would rather see an interesting train wreck than a well-crafted, like, boring set. So, you know, that's just me. That's what I'm into. What else has been going on in the world? I think that we've wrapped up almost all of it.
Yeah, there's nothing else going on. Those are the only two things.
I don't know, man. Like, politics are a fucking mess. The Trump administration is just getting more and more depraved as it goes along, and we're like a month in. I keep writing to my, you know, congressman, hoping something that will change, but no one's replied to me, and I'm almost out of ricin.
Well, I think you have to start typing in Russian. Apparently that's the language of the administration.
You know, you can actually read Cyrillic, right?
Yeah, I could actually read it. I studied it for a few years in high school, so maybe I could help translate for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you could, tell me how to write out "go fuck yourself," that would be fantastic.
Just suka over and over again. That's the word you want to use.
I don't really know a whole lot about Russian culture, aside from knowing a few Russians when I was in college, and judging by their salty demeanor, there must be a wide variety of curse words and insults available to the Russian language.
If anything, you should just start sending pictures from the Squatting Slavs Facebook meme page to your congressman.
It's an inside job. Awesome. Let's go ahead and we're going to play this track from the new Ghostbath record. This is Thrones, and then we're going to get right into it with Nameless of Ghostbath.
been a hectic day, but we got it worked out.
Yeah, so yeah, you were just trying to pick up a van in a snowstorm?
Yeah, the van we were going to use for this tour coming up. We leave tomorrow morning. It broke down right before I was going to go pick that one up. So last minute, we found one in Fargo, and I was just picking that up today, yeah.
Oh, that's hectic.
Yeah, but better it breaks down before you're on the road than after.
Thanks so much for joining us today. You, this tour that you're on, tell us a little bit about it. I see that you're basically going all throughout the Midwest and the Northeast here. Are there any spots that you're particularly stoked to stop?
Yeah, I mean, with this one, we wanted to hit up a lot of the places we weren't able to last year. I think Rochester looks pretty sick, and Baltimore. We did play a festival out there called Shadow Woods, which was really cool. And I think
I've heard a little bit about that festival. Basically, people are in the woods camping out in bunks together. Is that the one that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was just in the middle of the forest. They gave us a cabin to sleep in and everything. It was actually my birthday, so it was a pretty fun time.
That sounds like it. Did you get to catch any other bands while you were there?
Yeah, we actually got to see Mantar, some label mates of ours. They're really cool. I think they're from Germany.
So you've got a brand new record called Star Mourner coming out April 21st via Nuclear Blast, and we've got to hear a little bit about it. I think that we're gonna intro to this interview by playing Thrones, the first single from it, and it's an interesting track. It to my ears, it definitely takes off where Golden Number from your previous record, Moon Lover, takes off. It's notable in that it has major key guitar riffs, which wouldn't sound kind of out of place on, say, a power metal record. Is that something that you ever got into?
Power metal? Mm-hmm. No, not really. I mean, I'm really into Van Halen, though.
I could see. Yeah, there's a Venn diagram of people that are into Van Halen and into power metal. It's not a small overlap, I'd think. But
yeah,
it's an interesting combination because your vocals are so clearly depressive, suicidal black metal shrieks that it is a jarring and really, really interesting interplay between these pained vocals and black metal, and then transitioning to that cool open major key riffage that you got going. How did you find that sound?
Well, I've always really liked the contrast of something heavy and something melodic. In my last band, we wrote a song where it's close to a breakdown, but not really. And then there's this really melodic, pretty part over the top. And I just thought that was really cool. So I started writing a lot more songs in that style. I do like polarizing sounds. So obviously the vocals, most people either really like them or hate them. Or just laugh. But I think it's really cool that in a single song, I've had people tell me that they were crying when we were playing or when they heard it. And then the same exact song or the same exact show, people were just laughing at it. So I think it's crazy that one piece of music could evoke such a wide range of reactions from people.
I'm not super into black metal, but when I hear a Ghost Bath song, I look forward to hearing those melodic parts that take me out of your anguish screams and kind of make me feel something different. Do you try to put a melodic part in each one of your songs so it can evoke different emotions like that?
I mean, it depends. With this new record, I was trying to convey a lot more ecstasy, I'd say you'd call it, or... the theme of the record is sort of heaven and angels and that sort of thing. So definitely with this one, there's a lot more of that. But I do think it's sort of in my style to have a lot of melody in my songs. Even when I try to write something really heavy and dissonant, I always end up putting in some kind of melody or guitar riff in there.
with the themes of joy and paradise on the Star Mourner record, is that a reflection of how you feel now and where Ghost Bath is as a band?
Not really. The way I see it, I'm using those things to still convey depression and sorrow and that sort of thing. In my view, the music and the happiness around it are sort of the world around me and like outside things, but the vocals are still, you know, sorrowful or depressing. And I think it's a little more depressing to me for there to be like a contrast of like happiness and stuff in with it instead of just straight, like sad sounding riffs or, you know, a completely sad song. I think if you have something to compare it to, it's just that much, it hits that much harder, I think.
Yeah, there is a bit of joy in being depressed. There's a comfort in feeling the sadness that you usually feel constantly. Personally, I find myself listening to sad music when I'm sad and when I'm depressed, and that brings out a sort of kind of weird feeling of comfort. Do you ever do something like that when you're listening to music?
I think that's true for a lot of people, and like the same with our music. A lot of people tell me that it helps them get through sort of bad times. I mean, I've gotten letters, emails, messages, all that kind of thing. And people come up to me at shows, tell them that I helped them after they were suicidal or whatnot. And I think for me, I'm just, I'm trying to use it as sort of a catharsis type thing. I don't know. I don't think it works as well for me as it does for other people.
How did you first come across DSBM, and what made you want to adopt that vocal style?
I think they aren't DSBM, but the band that really got me into playing this style of music was Agalloch. I found their record Marrow of the Spirit, and I just bought it on a whim. Like I'd never heard of them before, and I just really liked their guitar riffs. They sort of have the blast beats with a melodic guitar going. And so when I looked them up online, I'm guessing it was probably through YouTube where I discovered DSBM. And I found the documentary. There's some documentary about like one man black metal bands.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's got Res from Leviathan is featured in there.
Yeah, and so that's where I first discovered DSBM. And then, you know, I really enjoyed it. And so I kept exploring different bands. And I found this band called Silencer, which is a very extreme vocal style. And for like, my first reaction was also to laugh at it. But like, the more I listened to it, I was just like, why do I keep listening to this? I just kept finding myself playing it. And so there are other bands that do that vocal style. I mean, Silencer is like a very extreme. They like put it way out front, like Austere and Germ. And I don't know. I just feel like when I scream, that's just kind of the natural way it goes. I wasn't really doing lyrics at first. So in sort of a Sigur Rós way, I just kind of made it up with the song, what sounded right, I guess.
You know, I have no way of being certain, but I feel like that's a pretty common thing among extreme metal musicians. Lyrics are kind of an afterthought upon fitting vocal patterns in.
Yeah, I was just really into Sigur Rós. Have you heard of that band?
Yeah. Are they Icelandic? Iceland,
yep,
right?
Yep, yeah, they're from Iceland. Yeah, so I really liked that the voice was just another instrument. And I think sometimes lyrics, I mean, especially if they're bad, but even if they're not, they can limit what the listener can get out of the music, and I didn't want to do that at all. So that's kind of what I went with.
Gotcha. You know, you were mentioning just a minute ago, but you were saying that you get a polarizing reaction. You use polarizing noises, and you get a polarized reaction from your audience. You know, you've got some people who are really touched by the music, who feel compelled to write you and tell you that, like, your music is making a difference in their lives. And on the same end, it seems like you've got a whole lot of really stangry people on the internet that just hate everything that you do. How does that feel? How do you deal with basically what amounts to an army of really mad trolls?
I don't know. I think I sort of enjoy it. I'm kind of a troll myself, if you remember the whole China fiasco. So I think I kind of brought it on myself a little bit. But I also, I knew writing this type of music was going to be very polarizing, and people are going to have strong reactions. When the very first EP, I showed it to the guys I was planning to make a full band with, and they just sort of didn't want to do it. And so they kind of quit the band, leaving me to do it by myself.
Wow. That is something else. You mentioned the China situation. For people that are listening to this podcast and are somehow completely unfamiliar with Ghostbath, your band came to prominence, basically repped by a lot of big metal writers that were that believed that you guys hailed from China, which of course is not the case. You guys are from North Dakota. This led to a lot of angry people, a lot of hand-wringing, and a lot of accusations that you had misled these writers. But where we are now is that you're at a nationally prominent band and signed to Nuclear Blast. So how do you feel about the whole situation looking back on it?
I don't know. It's sort of one of those things that started out as just kind of a joke to myself. I mean, I was by myself writing songs in my basement to being covered by a bunch of large websites. And for some reason, I thought it would be really funny just to continue trolling them. And I remember one email in particular. I think it said, I'm not going to say any names, but my editor doesn't believe you exist. Can I call you? And no, yeah, I didn't let him call me or anything, but I sort of left a lot of trails. Like I wasn't very careful about hiding my identity. I just kind of did it and just let it go, basically. Like, if people wanted to find out who I was, even back then, it wasn't too hard to do.
You've got a new record coming out from Nuclear Blast. It's getting a lot of attention, and people are still holding on to this and still mad about it. I was just looking around for live video of you guys, because I miss when you played in Austin. And one of the top videos is from some guy who seems like he's really fun to hang around, called Hipster Black Metal, with a video titled "Ghostbath or Cringeworthy Edge Fags."
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is the pot calling the kettle black metal, of course.
That guy. What's funny is he's been making videos for a while, and actually do watch his videos. He makes fun of, like, Def Heaven, Liturgy, Mercury, all those kinds of bands. And I remember jokingly saying, like, all right, guys, we've made it once he makes a video about us.
Hey, you
so,
did
I
it.
Don't know. I think it's funny. I don't get mad about that kind of stuff. But he got some of the members, like, he took pictures from my old band and put them next to images of my new band, which are all different people except for me. So I don't know. I was kind of mad he didn't get the correct members, but that's fine.
So I guess there is an inherent silliness to metal in general, and especially black metal. And I don't quite understand why one band gets a pass for, you know, basically putting on a theatrical display, calling themselves assumed names, and another does not. Do you have any theory on that?
I mean, the whole nameless thing was connected to just me and not wanting people to know who I am. But I mean, that's gone. And I don't know. The name just kind of stuck for me, I guess. I just call myself Nameless sometimes in like interviews and stuff for fun. But sorry, you're talking about like stage names and.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, it's, sure. I mean, the progenitors of the genre wore corpse paint and, you know, sniffed bags full of dead birds, which is, in my mind, infinitely lol-worthy. So I don't quite get why there's such hate for, like, you guys for perhaps wearing, you know, white jumpsuits on stage, which I think is pretty dope. And we can talk a bit more about that later, or say Deaf Heaven for having nice haircuts and being handsome.
Yeah, I don't know. I think to me, those bands with corpse paint and whatever, I mean, they're always funny to me, but at the same time, like, I loved it. So it was kind of a, I don't know. It was silly, but I still enjoyed it. I like a lot of silly things, so. And as far as the white jumpsuits, I was just at a black metal show like shortly before we started touring, and like I only saw black everywhere on stage, everyone in the audience, and so I was like, all right, let's just wear white then.
That makes sense.
Just kind of wanted to stand out, and then I still wore black just to. Because I was the one that wrote all the music and, I don't know, sort of gave a cool visual.
The other band that you guys are often compared to, Deaf Heaven, I wanted to ask you about a couple of, like, strange similarities between some of the music you've released. Of course, you know, it's sonically dissimilar, aside from, you know, blast beats and black metal, but... For example, on your last record, you had a track called Happy House, and there's a Dream Theater track. I keep saying Dream Theater. Deaf Heaven track Dream called Dream House, and the record Moon Lover, their record that put them to major prominence, was Sunbather. I don't know. How did that happen? Is that just a strange coincidence?
Honestly, it is. Every track on the record refers to either a synonym for a graveyard or something referring to the moon. And Happy House was to me like one of the most depressing tracks on the record. So I kind of ironically named it Happy House, as that's a name that can be used, for a graveyard as well. And then as far as the album titles, I had written all three. I had them all like picked out and like all the concepts before I started any of them. And yeah, they're just part of a trilogy.
Gotcha.
So like, as far as, yeah, Deaf Heaven, I mean, I had listened to them their, what was it? Roads of Judah yeah. album before. But I think what I was trying to do with Moonlover was write more of an Agalloch type album, but I just think I was bad at trying to emulate them at all. I think because I had more of like a kind of a post hardcore type background that it kind of changed it and it had its own tinge to it.
That's interesting. Because post hardcore has lots of different connotations depending on, I guess, the age that a person got into it. What's your shit? What do you jam on?
If you're talking about right now, I actually don't really listen to it. if you're talking about like what I was listening to back, when I was playing post hardcore, let's see, stuff like Norma Jean, Fear Before, I like to Converge a lot, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Poison the Well.
I never really got into them personally, no. But I don't know. I feel like when I start playing in a band, I stop listening to the type of music that I'm playing. So like as I was in that post-hardcore type band, I just kind of fell out with really listening to a lot of it.
What do you listen to now?
right now I listen to, I do listen to a lot of atmospheric black metal, but also I like a, it's not vaporwave, like really,
I like really vaporwave.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but I think chill wave might, or retro wave, that kind of stuff, like really, but it has, I'm very specific about it, so very like sci-fi sounding weird space noise type stuff.
Interesting. Have you checked out Mesarthim? Mesarth, I have no idea how to pronounce this fucking band name.
Oh yeah, Mesarthim. Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, I like them.
That's they're doing some really cool shit, and it's all in space, which I'm super into. So you've got tell us a little bit about Storm Warner. What do you want to communicate with this record?
So yeah, it's the second part of the trilogy. The trilogy is based on kind of two different things. One is basic human emotions. Moonlover was tragedy, and Star Mourner is ecstasy. And then it's also loosely based on like the Divine Comedy type thing, where Moonlover is more, you know, black and gray purgatory, and Star Mourner is more paradiso heaven type thing. And so with the record, I wrote 12 short stories, full short stories, and I had 12 different paintings done for the record. And I just wanted it to be sort of like an epic, and like the stories in the booklet look sort of like Bible pages. It's very like religious based, but it's not like a Christian record or anything.
I'm really curious about these paintings, because one of the most striking things about your previous releases with Funeral, you used the painting Ophelia by John Everett Millais, and with Moonlover, I love that art. It's La Luna by Luis Gonzalez Palma. Did you commission someone to do original art for this new record, or is it all pieces that you found?
An artist from Transylvania that I found. Her name is Luciana. I found her through like other bands' artwork, and I really liked her style. So, yeah, she had a couple done that I picked out that I thought fit well, and then I also had her read some of the stories, and I showed her some of the songs, and then she painted some of the other ones too.
That is awesome. I'm also glad to learn that Transylvania is apparently a real place.
Oh yeah, the first show we ever booked was in Transylvania, which I think's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Why did you even bother doing a second show after
that? Oh yeah, it just worked out weird that way, with us never playing any shows and kind of getting really big, and then we were preparing to tour both the U.S. and Europe last year, and that was just the first show that made us an offer that got confirmed. So I thought it was pretty cool.
What was the venue like? Was it, please tell me it was like a 13th century castle.
That's exactly what it was. It's a festival called Dark Bombastic Evening, and it was like inside of these fortress walls, and it was a great festival. Turned out really well.
What were those acoustics like? I have to assume that, the original peasants or serfs building the place didn't, plan on accounting for blast beats.
It was like an open air thing in between the walls. So it sounded like any open air festival. Yeah.
I would have been tempted to just play the Castlevania theme for 30 minutes.
if you saw a candlestick, you were obligated to throw a whip at it.
They had like an 80s dance party after the festival, which was kind of weird to me, but I was, dancing with the guy from Alcest, fucking getting drunk and shit. That's pretty cool.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah.
That sounds like a wonderful time all around. You're starting the tour tomorrow, right?
Yep, we leave tomorrow morning for Madison.
What are you going to listen to in the van?
Honestly, I listen to podcasts mostly.
What's the cool podcast? What are you getting into?
I mean, I download a ton because there's a lot of road time. I used to listen to the Metal Sucks podcast all the time. They changed hosts. I haven't checked it out since then. Chuck and Godless. I listen to some Joe Rogan, some Adam Carolla, some Intelligence Squared debates. I listen to a lot of debates for some reason on just religion and stuff.
Have you listened to the Joe Rogan Alex Jones episode yet?
Yes, I have.
any takes on that? Because there was a whole lot of shit going on.
I mean, I watched it on YouTube, and I was playing video games and drinking at the same time, so I wasn't really paying too much attention. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. I enjoyed it though.
I'm not a big fan of either person, but I found myself sucked into this as well. What kind of video games are you into right now, by the way? You have to tell us that.
Discovered your guys' podcast. I was playing a lot of Battlefield 1, and I just listened to the one with Trevor from Black Dahlia.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's really cool. I've been playing Battlefield 1, and then I like MMOs when I have the time to play them. I basically had nothing to do since September, our last tour. And so I've been playing Black Desert. It's like a Korean MMO.
Interesting.
But things went from like 0 to 100 real fast, and now I don't have time to do anything lately.
New album is called Storm Warner, and it is out April 21st via Nuclear Blast. So go pre-order that and look at all the cool album art that that comes along with it, thanks to our Transylvanian friend.
Thanks for asking me to be on this, guys.
Yeah, thanks. I'll see you at the Rhode Island show. My band's actually opening up for you.
Oh, which band is that?
Tovarish.
Yeah, we'll put I'll that there, in there as well. That the Rhode Island date, especially Jordan, you'll buy everybody free shots, right?
Sure, why not? Lots of Zima for everyone.
Huzzah! Awesome.
Are there like a bunch of like communist bands in Rhode Island?
No.
Oh, okay, because my guitarist was talking with someone who's in like a band that uses a lot of communist imagery, and I was like, "Oh yeah, we got this Tovarish band on," and he thought it was that band, but it was like a different band with communist imagery. So it's really funny.
Huh. Oh well, we'll have to rumble in the streets then for communist supremacy.
I don't think there that's how it works, dude. I think you're supposed to be comrades.
There can be only one. Yeah.
That about does it for this episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'd like to encourage everyone listening to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm at Joe Thrashenkill. 365 is at 365 Days of Horror. Follow us at Toilet of Hell. Subscribe on iTunes. Like us. Review us. Send me a lot of money via PayPal so that I can keep this shit up. What else do I need to do?
Make sure to like us on Facebook and join the Facebook group, the Toilet of Hell Social Club. A lot of good people in there. A lot of fun is had. And it's definitely the best metal community on Facebook right now.
Definitely true. That is we bullshit a lot, but that is a fact. That is a true fact. Also, if you made it this far, I've got interesting news. I've currently got a designer working on a brand new look for toiletofhell.com. And it's going to be outstanding. It's going to be a great change. It's going to be so much easier to find the content that you're looking for. I've got a brand new t-shirt design for Toilet of Hell coming out this week as well. So get fucking amped. And please give me money. I'm going broke doing this. Anything else we gotta say before we close out the show?
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See you next week, folks. Burn as it's made in every town. Looking somber in the eye, I know.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.